AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron corn herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and university trials.
Well, it's awful quiet from Chip's end, but I'm here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk, I guess, for this morning. We've got a free-for-all coming up for you right here. You got him? We got him?
I think I'm here now.
Say the line. Say the line. Get us
going. You want me to do it? I'm going to do it. All right? It's not very often that we live through events that will be remembered in history books, but that's what happened to us this week. And when it happens, it makes sense to spend some time figuring out how'd we get here. We'll do that for a bit, and then it's time to look forward to some key happenings in the year ahead.
Live from the Midwestern tropical region via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and we're pleased to welcome Delaware Secretary of Agriculture Michael Skuse. Right after the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and I think we've still got the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hello.
There he is.
All right. Just happy Friday, man.
Mic. Yeah. Tap the mic once in a while. Just make sure it's still going. We got him. Okay. Joe, we've got him. We've got him.
Good deal. Good deal. Captain. All right, man. What a historic week, huh? There are so many things that happened and that will be overshadowed, I think, in many ways by the biggest event of the week, and that is what happened on Wednesday at the state capitol. We've obviously got to talk about that. I'm dying to get the perspective from Wiesmeyer Haney and the added perspective from a special guest, yes, Delaware Ag Secretary Michael Skuse. It is very good to get. And hey, guys, some listeners have been sending us their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And these are unbelievably well thought out.
Yes.
Deep, with great consideration. Keep sending them. Keep sending them. And on the other hand, we are also getting comments like, I can't believe what they said. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. All the way to keep telling the truth, Chip. Keep telling the truth, Davis.
Yep.
It's running the full gamut of reactions. And that's where we're at right now as a country. That's where we're at. And that, I think what I want, where I want to end up today, Davis, with the show, is to be able to say, and you know what? For the moment, that's okay, because it's causing us all to look directly into the mirror and figure out exactly how you can play a role in the recovery of this country.
And that's just the thing. Do we need to mention the divisiveness, the division within our society, our nation right now? And so, like you said, we're getting comments from both extremes all of that. And really, I feel like the responsible place for us to be, you and me, in front of these microphones is right in the channel.
Yep.
We can look at these other sides. We can look at the far ends of the spectrum and everything in between, sure, but conclusions are dangerous right now,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. We're searching.
Let's keep paddling, keep searching.
I love a great discovery process. Love a great discovery process, and I think that's where we find ourselves right now, discovering how each individual can be of the most value to everybody else out there, and do our part to contribute to the well-being of the country. I think that's where we're at right now. It's going to take a little time, and that's okay.
Well, we'll get there. And my advice quickly would be, Hey, look, if you're deeply entrenched in a position, just take a second, all right? Take your hands off of that. You can get back to it. Look at the other positions.
Yep.
Look at what else may be out there. At least look. At least consider.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. Okay, buddy, before we do nothing more than headlines, let's get to the news.
Right. It's going to have to go quick. U.S. Central Bank may begin paring back its bond buying program as soon as the end of this year. That's according to Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia President Patrick Harker. Now, meanwhile, U.S. economic forecasts for 21 and 22 are being upgraded after Democrats secured control of the U.S. Senate, boosting odds of more fiscal stimulus. According to Michael Feroli of J.P. Morgan Chase, given adequate fiscal stimulus, U.S. GDP by the end of 22 could recover to levels above that seen before the pandemic. Adequate fiscal stimulus. Yeah. That's the part that concerns me in there.
Not much reaction going on in the equities markets right now. The NASDAQ is trading more than 100 points higher, but the Dow is basically unchanged. But I think there is an expectation that we will continue to see stimulus coming from the federal government and a lot of that money for a lot of people. And specifically, any stimulus money that goes to people that are invested in the stock market is going to roll into the stock market.
Yep. After 10 years of planning, expectations for increasing hog supplies and what some termed a lofty initial listing price combined to result in losses for the trading debut of live hog futures at China's Dalian and Commodity Exchange. The spot September contract fell 12.6% from the initial listing price. The IRS is issuing guidance regarding the implementation of federal tax incentives for carbon capture and storage. ConAgra believes the past year's changes in consumer food habits will continue beyond the coronavirus pandemic. And get this, Mexico's president pledged to provide coronavirus vaccines to undocumented immigrants in the U.S. after Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts said they would likely not get vaccinated because of their immigration status. Let's call that news. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Davis. Appreciate that, buddy. Let's bring in Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Here we are at the end of a very, I don't even know how to describe this week, Jennifer, but here we are at the end of it.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. You know, one of the things that was kind of floating below the radar for some people, but not for you, was there was an awful amount of fake meat news that hit the markets this week.
There was, you know, I mean, one of the things that I have to appreciate about Dennis DiPietri is he's a columnist for Pork, and he has not given up on this. You know, we've got to keep our eyes out on this fake meat situation, you know, and he wrote a really great article that we ran earlier this week about it. And you know, just talked about, we're under a big threat because this fake meat keeps infiltrating into especially these areas of like beef and pork crumbles. And we saw this week that the iconic Jimmy Dean sausage line has now added, you know, an alternative protein product into their lineup, you know. Yeah. And I guess it's kind of coming at us from all angles. Impossible Foods announced that they are dropping their prices because of the, you know, demand for their products. And so they're dropping their prices down. It's still quite a bit more expensive than beef, but
darn right.
Again, it's still making moves. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that caught everybody's, I mean, that caught the financial network channels when Impossible Meat started dropping their price. And they were trying to figure out, is it because they've gained some efficiencies on the production side, or is it because they aren't finding much demand out there? Well, I think the bottom line is they're not finding much demand at that higher price point, right?
Oh, I don't know how they could.
Right. I don't know how they could cut the price in half of hamburger and find demand, Jennifer.
I agree with that.
Love it. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. That is Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. We got the free-for-all coming up next. Wiesmeyer Haney and Secretary Skuse right here on AgriTalk.
Adverse weather conditions paired with some herbicides can cause crop injury early in the season. Today, I'm joined by Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta. Steve, why are these crop-safe corn herbicides so important in preventing that early season injury?
As most of us know, we've had quite a few curveballs from Mother Nature these last few years, especially 2019, making it even more important for growers to assess their weed management program to ensure it can adapt. much of the Corn Belt often faces cold temperatures and rain-delayed planting, which can really impact the ability for growers to apply their pre-emergent herbicides effectively and timely. Fortunately, there are flexible crop-safe herbicides on the market that will both help crops withstand unpredictable weather and protect them from those yield-robbing weeds.
Okay, cool. So the considerations that we should be thinking about when we're selecting a crop-safe product, go through that.
Firstly, it's critical that growers use a corn herbicide that has been proven to deliver excellent pre- and post-emergent crop safety. Even in those adverse weather conditions, some may not know that not all products include a crop safener. And even if they do, particularly in the case of some generic products, it's unknown what safener is being used or at what rate.
Okay, it's all good, but it's still got to yield. So for a grower looking to not only protect their crops, but also maximize yield potential, what do you recommend?
Well, only Acuron corn herbicide has proven crop safety. That's because it provides excellent pre-emergent and post-emergent crop safety across a wide range of soil types, weather conditions, and plant genetics, so really in any environment. Growers can enjoy application flexibility from 28 days pre-plant, including burn down, up to 12-inch corn. And even in cool, wet conditions, Acuron is unlikely to cause crop injury when used according to the label rate. Best of all, it's a dependable, easy-to-use formulation that contains a proven crop safener called Binoxicor for improved crop safety. So Acuron's our go-to herbicide.
Excellent, Steve. Thank you. To find out how crop safety could impact your revenue potential and to see how Acuron can provide an extra 5 to 15 bushels an acre to your yield, try Syngenta's online calculator at www.findmorebushels.com or talk to your local Syngenta retailer. And remember to always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron yield advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and university trials.
AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Time for the free-for-all right here on AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We've got Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer with us. Jim, welcome back. How you doing, buddy?
Good to be here, Chip.
Yep. Real Agriculture, Sean Haney. Haney.
Hey, great to be here, everybody.
Okay, we're going to get this out of the way right now. I don't know if I should say we're sorry or ha-ha or what we need to say about this youth hockey, the junior hockey thing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I know that there's a lot of people out there. Hey, Junebug. I know there's a lot of people out there that want me to say something to you about it, so I just did.
Well, that's very mighty kind of you, Chip.
Now, one of the best comebacks that I think I've ever seen was in your Twitter feed this week when you said, I hope the Blue Jays find some way to win the World Series to pay us back.
Yes, to put you through such anguish. Exactly. That World Junior Tournament is like one of the sport highlights of the year for Canada. And when they lose to the U.S., the American team played phenomenal, shut down the Canadian team. The entire forward group was first round draft picks. Like, it was a stacked team. And so the U.S. beat a very good one. So, congratulations. You won.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah, you know, you say it's a major event for Canada, but for hockey fans here in the United States, it's obviously a major event too. I'm just not that. I know you can't even understand how I can't be a hockey fan, but it's just not that big of a deal to me. Let's bring in our third member of today's free for all, and that is Delaware Ag Secretary Michael Skuse. Welcome back to AgriTalk, Secretary Skuse.
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure, guys.
Excellent. Now, the only reason that I'm going to Jim first is because of topic and the fact that Jim and I have spent more than 30 years together, working together, covering events. And I've got to go to Jim first on this just to get your take on the events that happened in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday.
Well, we had a crime scene at the Capitol. It was a tragedy for all Americans, and it tarnished our image around the world. And now we're going to see continued repercussions, and hope we learn from it again.
Yeah. I want to talk more about
how we recover from what happened on Wednesday. But Secretary Skuse, I'd love to get your take on the events from Wednesday.
Well, I got to agree with Jim. You know, it was very, very unfortunate that we had something like that happen at our nation's capital. And, you know, I agree with what some of the others have said, that it was nothing more than domestic terrorism. And, you know, we lost a lot of our standing around the world when other countries were viewing what was happening at our nation's capital. And, you know, unfortunately, we looked no better than some third world country. And that's unfortunate. And it's going to take us a long time to recover from that.
Yeah, I'm afraid the your timeline is probably pretty good there, Secretary Skuse. It's not something that we're going to make a quick recovery from. Sean, from your perspective, I should let you know that on Wednesday, in the afternoon hour of AgriTalk, we had Mike Jubinville on from Markets Farm, and he offered us a little bit of perspective from north of the border then as well. And I could hear it in Mike's voice that he was feeling the tension, that he was feeling the despair from what was happening at the nation's capital.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. So I want to, from my perspective, I want to clear something up. I've seen a few people saying and in social media talking about how, you know, other countries are laughing at us. And I think that's a really misrepresentation. I can at least speak from my own perspective that I think it's nothing. It is not a matter of laughter whatsoever. It's a deep empathy that it can come, you know, deep partisanship can come to this. And that, you know, if this can happen at the capital of the leader of the free world, man, what does it mean for other countries like Canada, the UK, and others? So it was a very scary scene.
Yep. Secretary Skuse, I'll start this line of conversation around it with you. How did we get here?
Oh, you know, that's a good question, and it probably has quite a few answers. I think if you go back and you start looking at how our country, the different factions in our country have started to pull on both of our parties, whether it be the left or the right, and, you know, try to, I don't know how the best way to put it, but and I think some of the politicians have been playing into those groups that are the extremes on both of our parties. And you know, when you look at how the media has fed on that, I think that's what's helped get us here, unfortunately. And to be quite honest with Wednesday's event, that's a result of the president not wanting to accept the results of the election. And with his comments that started, if you look at it, it started way before the election, where he was saying that if he lost, there would be fraud. It would be as a result of fraud. And that's continued clear up until Wednesday morning when he met with all of the protesters. So that's pretty much how we got to where we are today.
Yeah, your initial comments there, Secretary Skuse, basically politicians figured out how to push the buttons of those that aren't going to vote for him anyway. And button pushing has become a very popular sport with social media and no filters, right, Jim?
Yes. It's a combination to me. I think Michael's, you know, spot on. It began actually before Trump with the animosity in town here between the extremes of both political parties. Trump accelerated it, and you had your angry Democrats. But on the media, you know, CNN and Fox, I mean, they wanted to get their viewers not just mad, but very mad, just shy of killing people. Well, it killed people. And you couple that with Twitter and Facebook with no editors, you got the scene of what we're seeing today.
Yeah. And then throw on top of it, Haney, the cancel culture, where people and rabble rousers, I guess, look for any excuse to tear other people down. They may have never heard of some celebrity, but as soon as they do something that they think is just a little off kilter, they participate in tearing that person down. Or a politician, they participate in tearing it down because it's sport to them.
Well, and how it sticks to some and doesn't stick to others. That's the part that I've never really understood, and how it only applies to certain people. And how the lack of ability to not think that somebody can see the light or, you know, see some change. And I think an example of that is Bill Barr this week. You know, Bill Barr has been quite outspoken about what he saw on Wednesday. Clearly he resigned before all of this. People can speculate on what the reasons were, I guess, at this point. But the reaction, my reaction was, man, okay, that's interesting. I look at that as, okay, there's some perspective. There's something there's maybe a bit of a signal there, maybe, to use some of Jim's words. But what I've seen is other people react, oh no, you don't get a chance, Bill Barr. Uh-uh, no way. I've basically written you off.
Right.
And I think that needs to change.
Right. Oh, absolutely, it needs to change. The inability. No. You know what? It's not an inability. It to me, it is a unique ability to just shut out all of anybody that might have an opposing opinion to you, just to shut them out and shut them down and cancel them out is absolutely astounding to me. I don't know how people can do that.
But Chip, it's the echo chamber, and we you know, as mentioned already, as far as the echo chamber of media,
right.
There is a lot of people that turned on their talk show that they listened to on Monday morning, and had no clue the president made that phone call to the Secretary of State of Georgia.
Right.
It doesn't even come up.
That's right.
And that's right. That's a problem.
All right, Greg from Minnesota called in. Greg, I'm sorry, Secretary Skews, but we're coming up against a hard break. Okay. But Greg from Minnesota called in. He specifically wanted to take issue with the media identifying protesters as Republicans only, as opposed to the rumors that it's other organizations out there as well. There were professionals involved in this. I mean, there's no question, because if everybody that was there wanted to see happen what happened at the Capitol, we'd still be trying to get it back. There's no question. We're going to talk about the next several months of Michael Skews' good friend, Joe Biden, next here on AgriTalk.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
And joining us right now is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. He's working on wrapping up another issue of ProFarmer. Let's take a look at the soybean market first, Beej. Man, oh man, solid gains going on there.
Yeah, really kind of exploded here mid-morning, and we've seen a big push to the upside, 20-plus cents in most of the contracts now. And we got confirmation this morning of some of the talk earlier this week that China was buying U.S. beans, so we had a daily sales announcement there. Nothing new on that front this morning, although I would assume that, price moves like this, similar to this, it has been China in the market, or at least somebody in the market. So maybe that's behind the mid-morning push here to the upside, although I don't have any news, like I said, on that.
Gotcha. Beans are pulling corn to the upside, but wheat seems to be anchoring it back.
Yeah, corn's kind of caught in the middle at the moment, favoring the upside and solidly favoring the upside 2 to 3 cents. But like you said, the wheat is kind of an anchor, and it's been that way. It's kind of a reluctant follower to the upside, just not the strength in that market that we've seen in soybeans and corn by any means, especially the fund buying side of things.
Absolutely. Okay, take us over to the livestock trade. We've got some negative numbers there.
Yeah, negative numbers. I think the employment report this morning, the jobs data for December, disappointing, obviously, with a reduction there. So you can kind of extrapolate that through to meet demand to some degree, and that's probably got a little bit of the negative influence on the cattle and hog markets here to close out the week. But all in all, it's relatively quiet. We aren't seeing active selling by any means here to close out the week.
All right, BHA, here we go into a weekend in front of one of the biggest report weeks of the year for us. January 12th, heads up there. Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Well, we're going to figure that out right now, because we've got a free-for-all going with Wiesmeyer, Haney, and Delaware Ag Secretary Michael Skuse. Secretary Skuse, at the end of the last segment, I had to cut you off there. I'm sorry about that. But you wanted to make a comment that was fitting in with the how did we get here and how it got to such heights, I guess.
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, we discussed how we got here, but I think it's important that we talk about how do we get out of here. And
yes.
I think that's going to come from our leadership. That's going to come from leadership on both political parties in Washington, D.C., in our states, trying to work together now for the good of the people, not just for themselves, and to bring this country back together. But it's going to have to come from our leadership of both political parties, especially in Washington, because we've seen such divisiveness over the last few years.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. We need to have a leader stand up, or leaders stand up, that are willing to lead. And being, you know, we've always talked about those that make the decisions are the ones that show up. Well, we need the leaders to show up. But in this environment that we're in right now, you also have to have a group that is willing to accept a leader. And right now, unfortunately, the labels that are assigned to different leaders are going to stop a segment of the population from even acknowledging that they've got something worthwhile to listen to. It's really difficult, and I think the media can play a role in helping this happen, because John Harith, Farm Journal News Director, sent me a note here during the break. He said, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and to a certain degree, Washington Post, New York Times, no longer provide a bright line between news and opinion. Therefore, to the public, there is no difference between news and opinion. Opinion expressed on the news outlet of personal choice is absolute fact. And I've talked about on this show many times about how I have to force myself to go from CNN to Fox News to MSNBC, back to Fox, back to CNN, to gather a variety of opinions rather than one that goes hard left or one that goes hard right, Jim, because that seems to be that's all that's available to the public right now.
Well, I don't watch them anymore. As a news person, I watch a channel called Newsy, believe it or not, straight news, and they do not do opinion. It's just been very good to watch. And Scott, you know, Brett Baer's show at 6 o'clock Eastern time, even though on Fox, that's about the only Fox News program I watch anymore, and I haven't watched CNN for, you know, quite some time.
Haney, you've mentioned Baer's show a couple of times.
Yeah, I agree with Jim. I think it's a straight shot. It's objective. He calls people out on both sides, and I thought he did a fabulous job covering the events of Wednesday, like he does every day. So I'm a fan.
Very good, very good. Obviously, Secretary Skews, one of the leaders that you anticipate is going to be standing up, and quite frankly, did stand up and attempt to lead on Wednesday during the riot at the Capitol, is your good friend, President-elect Joe Biden. What do you expect from the Biden administration over the next, call it, 30 days?
Oh, a couple different things. I think you're going to see the administration work very hard to bring this country together. But, you know, first and foremost, I think, is the vaccinating process to get us out of where we are right now with COVID-19. You know, the president-elect has made it very clear that he doesn't believe that the process that we're currently using is effective, and that we can vaccinate people a lot faster than what we have been doing over the last few weeks. And so I think you're going to see a major effort to get as many Americans vaccinated as quickly as the administration possibly can. And on top of that, you're going to see more of what you saw the president-elect do Wednesday afternoon by trying to bring this country together so that we can move forward.
Okay. There are some listeners out there, Secretary Skews, that are going to say, listen, if he's got a great idea on how to speed up the delivery of the vaccines, why aren't we doing it?
Well, you know, the administration's not in place right now. You know, he doesn't take office until noon January 20th. But I do think that as soon as he takes that oath of office and gets his people in place, that's when I think you're going to see some changes to get as many people vaccinated in as short a period of time as possible. But, you know, the president-elect, you know, they haven't been getting briefings that they need to do. I don't know that the transition is going as smoothly as it should be going right now. But I think once January 20th arrives, you're going to see some things happen.
Okay, Jim, now that President Trump has apparently committed to the peaceful and efficient transition, do you think he'll stick to that?
Yeah, he has to, and he will. He's lost almost all support. You know, on the vaccine, I want to say the barometer that I think will happen that'll make me feel better is once those vaccines are at the CVS's, the Walgreens, and the Walmarts, that's when we can roll, because that's where I get all my flu shots, and they do it quite well.
Yeah, his name escapes me. Admiral. He's our nation's doctor. I can't even come up with the name, the Surgeon General. Good grief. Thanks for all the help there, fellas. You let me stumble right through on that. The Surgeon General has said, has said the same thing. We need to get the drugstores, our flu vaccine deliverers, we need to get everybody that's in that line involved. Now, storage is a different issue for some of the vaccines that might make it more difficult, but these are professionals. They know what they're doing.
you know, comparatively speaking, if you look at per capita, United States right now is at 1.79 people per 100 have been vaccinated. Okay. In Canada, it's only 0.62. Israel is actually at 19.55, so way ahead of all of us.
Because they're focused on the delivery. Let's be blunt here. This country has not been focused on the delivery, even though the admiral has done quite well. But the integration between Washington and the states is lacking, and hopefully Biden, you know, will deliver that.
Right. Right. Why don't we? I mean, we brought the hospital boat right into the harbor in New York. Why don't we do something like that again and start running people through just as quick as we can?
Noah's Ark. A vaccine Noah's Ark.
There you go. What do we make of some of the cabinet officials that are leaving the Trump administration here in the last few days, Secretary Skews?
Well, I mean, I led the transition from USDA into the current administration. I think it's unfortunate that we are losing, cabinet members with only 12 days left in the current administration. There's still a lot of work to be done on the transition. I understand why they're leaving, but I think it's unfortunate that they would leave this close to January 20th, knowing that there's still quite a bit of work to be done on the transition from one administration to another.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the cabinet members that is not leaving, Jim, is USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue. But I would argue that, hey, if you've got Tom Vilsack coming to take over your office, why wouldn't you hang out? The transition is going to be pretty easy.
Yeah, and I know Michael will agree with this. The career people at the departments, especially at USDA, assuming they have not retired, yeah, the ones with institutional memory, they're very good. And they can, you know, implement a lot of things. Not all, because you do need leadership. But, you know, we've got a lot of unsung heroes in the various agencies and departments.
Address that.
Ever... That is so true. Okay. That is so true. I mean, people don't understand how good our career employees are, especially at USDA. There's some great people there.
Yeah.
The offices that moved to Kansas City, Secretary Skuse, is there going to be an effort to bring those back into D.C.?
I don't know if there will be or not, but in my opinion, that was a huge mistake to move them out of Washington, D.C. We have other offices out in Kansas City. Risk Management Agency is one of those that has offices in Kansas City. But in my experience at USDA, I think it was a huge error to move those offices at the Kansas City.
Okay. All right. Haney, I'm sorry. I jumped all over you there. What did you have?
No, I was just curious. I'm not a White House historian. Is this where cabinet members are quitting this close to the inauguration, like in a change? Is there a precedent for this? Like, I've not heard much about that. Does anybody know?
Jim?
Well, in the past, and again, you know, Michael will know this, when there has been, they've had acting, you know, cabinet people. So at very high levels, usually the deputies and, you know, things like that. Wouldn't that be correct, Michael?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's not unusual for some members of the cabinet to leave with, you know, a month or so left in the administration. They've had job offers or whatever. Yep. And in that case, then you elevate the deputy secretary or one of the undersecretaries into that position.
We'll wrap up the free-for-all in a moment.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. We've got the free-for-all going, and that pause there was me trying to figure out exactly where we're going next with the free-for-all. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Delaware Ag Secretary Michael Skuse. Jim, I'm going to go to you. You had a question that you wanted to ask of the secretary during the break there. Go ahead.
Well, especially with his experience, too, in the use of what we call budget reconciliation and some PAYGO exemption provisions that you don't have to have budget offsets on major items such as, climate change, carbon credit. Where do you see this going, Mr. Undersecretary?
Well, I think it makes it a lot easier for the president to do some of the things that he has mentioned he'd like to do. When you look at climate change and some of the others, and looking at carbon sequestration and how we pay for that, with the House waiving PAYGO, I think that as we discussed, that's going to put pressure on the Senate to do the same thing, and with the individuals that the president elect is bringing into his cabinet to do some of these things with the waiving of the PAYGO. I think that just makes it that much easier to get those things done and get them done quickly, and also get them done in a meaningful manner.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the people that are going to be charged with administrating what is going to be coming from a Biden administration here. Senator Bernie Sanders will be chair of the budget committee and will likely push reductions in defense spending. Right, Jim?
That's his history on it. Now, some people say that maybe we're spending too much, but boy, you don't want to go as much as Carter did. Again, I want to bow to Michael on this one. He's an unknown quantity as chairman of a very important budget committee.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But again, I think this is a case where all of the members are going to start working together to look at ways that we can appropriately spend the money that we have. But at the same time, you know, be aware of that it is taxpayers' money. We do need to be responsible when we spend the taxpayers' money. And I think that Bernie Sanders will be one that is going to be a very responsible person to be there in that position.
Yeah. Okay. Jim, let's sum up the cabinet appointments. Let's sum up the leadership appointments in the Senate and the House. By, if you're going to look for one thing to tell you what the marketplace thinks of these appointments, aren't you going to go to the equities trade?
Yeah, yes, you would. And of course, the equity traders are looking at the potential for tax increases. But that's where Janet Yellen, as Treasury Secretary, former Fed chairwoman, is going to be instrumental, I think, in trying to probably temper, not all tax increases coming, but to temper them enough, because she would not want anything to degrade the coming rise in the U.S. economy.
Right.
What equity traders tell me, they're looking at that and also climate change. And I want to be very brief here, Chip. Go and Google a firm called Grow Intelligence, G-R-O Intelligence. The New York Times, Andrew Sorkin, who is a very good analyst and writer, has an exclusive on this, and they're going to be a kingpin in this climate change debate.
Yeah.
And this is what investors are looking out for. How's Congress and the Biden administration going to implement what many think we need in this topic area?
Yeah, we had Andy Knepp from Bayer Crop Sciences on the show earlier. Was it last week or earlier this week? I think it might have been earlier this week. And his comments about how it is a top priority, not just among the administration, but out in the industry, it is a top priority to push this forward and figure out how we are going to measure carbon, how we are going to measure carbon sequestration, how we are going to measure the efforts put in by individual producers, and how we are going to compensate them for doing so in the future. I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating. I really do.
Yeah, Michael, where do you see this topic going?
Well, I was just going to say, I think that the president-elect has put some really, really good people in key positions to deal with this issue. Former Senator Kerry, you got Gina McCarthy, you got the Tom Vilsack in there. I mean, these are really, really good people you're right. There's some really difficult questions that have to be answered as to how we go about doing these things and how you compensate producers for what they're doing. But I think, again, the president-elect's put some really good people in these positions that are going to be able to answer those very difficult questions.
Gotcha. We're almost out of time, but I got to go to this because I have been focused on searching for the truth and reacting to the truth and letting that guide my beliefs this week. And Jim, one of the news items that came out of Mexico this week just blew me away when Mexico bans GMO corn and phases out glyphosate herbicides. It's just ignoring the science that's out there.
Yeah, well, here we go again. But that's where some trade policies between the two nations,
yeah.
If they start doing that, then you're going to bring in not only the incoming Biden administration, that I don't think will look kindly to that, but also the lawmakers in Congress on both political parties.
Yep. Real quick, Haney, what was your take on that?
I think watching the relationship between Biden and AMLO going forward is maybe going to be super interesting, because I'm not sure they're off to a really good start.
Gotcha. Secretary Skuse, huge thank you for joining us. As I hope you'll come back on, because I do want to talk more about the transition process. I do want to talk more about how things are being implemented in the early days of the Biden administration.
Not a problem. I've always enjoyed being on the show, guys. It's a pleasure.
Excellent. That is Delaware Secretary of Ag, Michael Skuse. Wow, Jim, what a week. What a week, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I am too. Haney, good stuff this week. Thanks, buddy.
I got Ohio State over Alabama on Monday night.
Whoa, there it is. Drop that bomb and walk off.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.